desire and interest in your prayers tonight. Thank the Lord for the privilege and opportunity to be here. Appreciate the Lord's blessings to each one of us. The subject I would like for us to consider tonight is peace. I'm not sure where you're at tonight, but I want you to know that I'm very aware that our peace can be disturbed, can be unsettled, and there are many things about our everyday lives that causes our peace to seem like go out the window and evaporate. A definition I find for peace is, in a general sense, a state of quiet or tranquility, a freedom from disturbance or agitation. That sounds a little bit unrealistic, doesn't it? If your life is like mine, there's always something that seems like is going on to disturb our peace. Peace is an absence of tension, an absence of argument, an absence of distress or confusion or misunderstanding. But I find in my life that the world all around us is not very conducive to peace and tranquility. A long time ago, my wife and I purchased a porch swing, and the house we lived in prior to the one we're at now had a front porch, and we had it hung up out there, and we would sit in it occasionally, but not very often. And after we moved to where we're at now, we don't have a porch, so it's set in the garage for a number of years, and then she would ask me every once in a while, I want something to hang that swing on. So here, 3 or 4 years ago, I built an A-frame steel and painted it and got it out close to the back door of the house under an oak tree. And we live close to a creek on a road that's not traveled very often, and when we get a chance, we can set in our swing when the weather's nice and it's very peaceful. It's peaceful to look down towards the creek and almost hear the water running from the house. Maybe hear some of the bugs chirping in the trees, and maybe hear an owl or something like, just hear some wildlife out there. Once in a while hear a coyote or something of that nature. It's a real peaceful thing. We just don't get enough of it. Because life is so full of other things, it's not very peaceful. A week ago tomorrow, we were getting around to come here for Saturday and work late Friday night. Finally got to bed, maybe 12:30 or so, and intended to get up early the next morning, and I went right to sleep, and then I woke up and I thought I heard some piece of machine, something electric motor running in the house or something. And so I got up and I wasn't very alert, and come to find out that a plumbing repair under the kitchen sink had dissolved, and there was water spraying and hitting the bottom of my sink and then all over the floor, maybe a couple inches deep. So I spent an hour and a half in the middle of the night scooping up water and cleaning up a mess, and my peace was kind of shattered right then. By the time I got back to bed, I was all worked up, and you know how it happens when you get in a situation like that. And I laid down, and I think I seen 3 o'clock before I finally realized that I was going to drift off to sleep, and 5:30 was just too early, so I didn't get here as early as I wanted to. But those kind of things are far more common than the peaceful things, it seems like, in life. I'd like for us to turn to Mark, the 4th chapter, read a little passage here, beginning in verse 35. And it says, "The same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side." This was Jesus speaking to his disciples. "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took even as he was in the ship, and they were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" As I consider this passage of Scripture, I realize that all of us want Jesus to speak peace to the trouble that we have in our life. And if you're here today and you don't know the Lord as your personal friend and Savior, I want you to know that He can speak a level of peace in your life and in your heart that you don't even know how to comprehend right now. And if you're here today and holding on by the skin of your teeth to live for the Lord, and you feel like your whole life is in an uproar, and you have water leaks and other calamities going on all around you, I want you to know that there's a level of peace that can come from a real understanding of the Lord that passes what you're going through. So I want us to consider this thought of peace tonight. As I look at this passage of Scripture, it seems like that the disciples were a little bit surprised that Jesus spoke peace to the waves and everything settled down. You know, I think when they went to the back of the boat and they found Jesus asleep there, that they were chiding him because they felt like they had left him with the rudder. You know, the back of the boat is where you would have the rudder. And some commentators feel like this pillow was a cushion for the steerman to sit on. And when they went to the back of the boat and they found Jesus sitting there on this pillow asleep, I wonder if the disciples thought, "Well, Master, if you'd have been paying attention and steered us around the storm, we would not be, our boat wouldn't be full of water." I wonder if they were, when they spoke to him, awoke him and spoke to him, I wonder if they were just more or less agitated with him. And when he spoke peace to the storm and everything became calm around them, they were amazed, weren't they? That's what the Scripture says. And today I think many times that we get the perspective that if we really get a hold of the Lord, the proof is going to be that we don't have any problems. Some of this was kind of touched on earlier. If we really have an experience that's valid with God, the compression fittings won't ever come apart. Well, I've lived long enough to find out that that's not always the case. I've lived long enough to realize that troubles come our way too. And it doesn't matter how sincere you are, and it doesn't matter how dedicated you are, you're going to have some calamities. You're going to have some things that causes you to kind of break out in a cold sweat. You're going to have sinking feelings. You're gonna see things sometime or another probably catch on fire and just go up in smoke, and there's nothing you can do about it. You're gonna see things disintegrate before your eyes that you maybe had a lot of hopes and a lot of plans for. And you're going to feel, instead of feeling so peaceful, like sitting on the swing and listening to the gurgle of the creek and hearing the wind in the leaves and hearing the animals make their sounds that they do in the night, instead of hearing that, you're going to feel agitated. And there's going to be something that kind of gets under your skin. And there's going to be something that causes you to feel like your feathers are ruffled. And you're going to have to deal with that. And my message this evening is about a peace that's in a different dimension than that. So I'd like for us to turn to St. John, the 14th chapter, and begin reading here. Maybe read a couple verses. St. John, the 14th chapter and the 27th verse. The setting here is immediately following the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples. It's after the account of the feet washing. And it appears that it's before they went out into the garden. If we read through here chapters 14, 15, 16, and 17, there was a lot of counsel that Jesus gave his disciples in the book of John. It's very valid. It's very good. There's a lot of good information here. But we want to look at one verse. Jesus says to his disciples in 14 and 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now get the setting. Jesus has had his last supper. He's already spoke to his disciples and instructed Judas that was going to betray him, if whatever you're going to do, do it quickly. And if you knew someone was going to betray you and you told them, do it quickly, how would your peace be? How would you feel? Would you feel all calm and collected and serene? I don't think so. I wouldn't. If I knew someone was going to betray me to the magistrates and to the judicial system, and that they were going to arrest me, and they were going to crucify me and make a public example out of me, my peace wouldn't be very full right then. I would be feeling pretty down in the dumps. And I would be feeling distressed. But right in the midst of that, Jesus said to those around him, "My peace I give unto you." And there's something about this peace that's not on the same plane as the peace of keeping things intact and keeping the good feelings going. This peace is in another dimension, if you will. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." It's so easy for us to take the perspective of the world when it comes to peace. And there's so many things that the world has attempted to do to get peace. When they come to an end of a military conflict and someone surrenders or there's a truce or whatever, there's always terms of peace. Which means there's some mandates, some regulations, some rules that put in, well, you won't ever do this again, or we won't come this far anymore. We have rules all around us for the sake of peace. We have speed limits on our highways. We have signs that tell us, warn us ahead of time about lanes closing and construction and all these kind of things. We our whole society implements lots of rules to try to keep peace. And you've implemented rules too. If you're a parent here today and you've had young children and you've been traveling down the road and there's some conflict erupts in the back seat, I'm sure that you've probably said, okay, you get on that side and you get on this side. You look out of one window and you look out the other window and don't look at one another. You're trying to find some grounds for peace. And maybe you'll get things calmed down for a little while, and then it seems like peace dissolves again and there's a little conflict going on back there. You know, I remember years ago those kind of scenes playing in my memory this evening, and maybe you stop and you have a little session with the vehicle stopped. And you know, afterwards, all you have to do is kind of hit the brakes and everything gets quiet. You see, we've tried to put something in place to make peace happen. But there's a level and there's a way to have peace that it's in a different dimension than that. If you got in the hearts of those that's having the conflict to want to be peaceable, then it takes all of the breaks and the sessions that you might have, it takes all of that out of the picture. And the things that could be disrupt the peace, it puts that in a totally different perspective. So every one of us here, I want to say to this, however much you realize it, you have done things to try to regulate and administer peace, but it's not always successful, especially long term. There is always another factor that comes in. Yes, but they did this. You think that you did everything like you should have done. It should have been peaceable. See, my water leak. I was trying to give some instruction on plumbing repair, trying to build some confidence. And I told my son, don't tighten it too tight. You'll crush that pipe and then we'll have a leak. So he didn't tighten it too tight. But over a period of time, the lack of the tension on the fitting allowed the pipe to gradually seep out until we had a problem. But you know, the efforts that we make, the best efforts we make, many times fails in the long term. But I'm so glad that we can avail ourselves of a dimension of peace that'll help us in that time. Amen. You know, the enemy wants to tempt us in those times to take some of that water in there and wake him up with it. Get in there and help me clean this up. I didn't do that. But you know, it's not because those kind of thoughts don't come to your mind. But there is an element of peace that we can have, folks, that'll keep us from following through the things. Would that make things better? No, it wouldn't make things better. Would it? You know, the scripture teaches me not to put my children's teeth on edge, right? The scripture teaches us to not pursue conflicts with one another. For us to be peaceable and easily to be entreated and all of that. But even all of the efforts that we make to keep peace, there's still things that's inevitable that's going to happen. So we have to have a resource, a connection to something that goes beyond keeping things where we're all comfortable. I like, this building is comfortable. Not so long ago, we were in a setting, in a meeting, that it wasn't comfortable like this. It was damp and it was pretty chilly. Wind was blowing and we were under a tabernacle. And I was standing behind the pulpit and I was kind of shaking. This was real comfortable. But you know, there's a peace that goes beyond how comfortable we are in the flesh. Jesus says here, my peace I'm going to leave with you. And I'll tell you, I want some of that. I'd like for us to look at the words of a song in our book, number 66. It says, "Can the spirit of a mortal live beyond the reach of trouble?" I'm going to tell you, no. Our physical can't reach beyond that. But the spirit of the mortal, it can go beyond that. There's going to be trouble around us. It says, "Can the spirit of a mortal live beyond the reach of trouble? Knowing not a painful struggle, ever joyful in the Lord." It's hard to praise the Lord. It's hard to have real joy when things are not going right. He says in the chorus, "Glory to my Savior's name, precious name, walking on His holy plain, nothing can my peace disturb, free and happy as a bird, singing joyful praise evermore." I believe that we can have that kind of peace in our spirits, in our soul, something that goes beyond the dilemmas that we're faced with every day. I'd like to turn to Philippians, the 4th chapter, and read what the Apostle Paul says here. Philippians, the 4th chapter, I'd like to read the 6th and the 7th verses. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." There is a peace that we can have. A peace of God that passes the understanding and the level of comprehension that only that humanity has. When you have a connection to this kind of peace, you're going to find that others look on incredulously, if I can use that word. People will look on and they won't quite understand, how is it that you don't respond in a real negative manner? Have you ever had someone to offer to curse a little bit for you? I've been there. Others can look on and realize that things aren't going well. It might be just a major disappointment. It might be personal injury to your physical body. It might be an emotional injury or something like that. There's going to be others look on. When we have a connection to this peace, there's going to be others look on and say, "I don't know how you do it." If it was me, I would tell them this. Or I would have done that. We all have disappointments, and we all have different personalities. And some of us are more easily agitated than others. I've told this several times. I'll tell it again for what it's worth. Work in an area in the shop that I work in that the inside of the metal building has what we call a liner. It's 8 foot tall, and above that, the insulation is exposed. It has this vinyl backing on it. And right there where I work, my work area, up above the metal liner, you can where the insulation exposed, it looks like a machete has been up there chopping all of that insulation, tearing it. And it's because there used to be a fellow that worked there that would, when things didn't go well and his peace was disturbed, he would throw tools and parts and stuff like, just throw it up there. And you know, all of us here are put in those places where you might be tempted to throw something. My brother worked with a man for a while when he was in high school that something wouldn't go right, and maybe he would lose something or break something while he was working on some machinery, and he would take all of his the tools he had in his hand and he would just throw them out in the driveway. And just one time he said he had a hood off of a car and he was doing some mechanical repair, so had the hood off and became real angry, and his peace was disturbed, and he just went over and stomped on that hood. You know, you might be tempted to do that. You might be tempted, if things didn't go right, to just clean somebody's plow. Just tell them how it really is. I mean, just give it, tell them everything. But you know, I believe there's a peace that we can tap into that's beyond that. Yes, there's things that hurt. There's emotional things that can hurt us that are more painful than any kind of smashed fingers or things of that nature. There's things that really hurt emotionally. But I want you to know that Jesus said He was going to leave His peace with us. And I want you to know that when my feathers get ruffled, I want to know how to get a hold of that peace. Because I want others to look on and say, I want to know how you do that. I want some of that. I want that kind of connection with the God of heaven. The Philippians here says, and the peace of God which passeth understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I want you to know here tonight that if you have a lot of unpeaceful thoughts, if you have a lot of things happening in your life that bring stress, and we have even the medical field today is addressing the effects of stress in people's lives today. They feel like it's a real root cause for health issues today. Stress. You know, there's a peace of God that'll help us with that. It won't take away the leaky pipes, and it won't take away the hurtful things that somebody might say to you, but I want to tell you, there's a peace we can tap into that'll keep us in the midst of that. In Isaiah, the 26th chapter, I'm so thankful the Lord gave this vision to Isaiah. He was looking for the time that this would happen. Isaiah 26, again reading in verse 1, it says, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation with God will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. I believe he's talking about the age that we live in. I believe he's talking about the day that when Christ would come, when Christ was here to minister to those that was around him, and when he was preparing to leave this old world, he told his disciples, my peace will I give unto you. Amen. Isaiah seen it way back here. He says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Here is the key. If we want to have the peace that will pass the comprehension of the typical person around us, the person that doesn't have the same access with God, if we want to be able to have that kind of peace, we're going to have our minds stayed on who? On God and on Christ. If we allow our minds to begin to gravitate from one point to the other and begin to really consider someone's thoughts and their intentions and their perspectives, and when we begin to allow our minds to drift to what's right and what's just and what's fair and what's equal and what makes sense and what's reasonable and all of those things, that peace that Christ come to give us is going to start fading out. And we're going to find ourselves in a place where we're going to yield to throwing and hollering and doing things that is embarrassing to us and we want to have to go back and apologize for. But the key here is to have our minds stayed, to be locked into this, to be in a place where I'm not considering anything else, but Lord, this thing is driving me to my knees. Have you ever been in those places where you feel like trouble's all around you? You think of Job, you think of the situation he was in there. One trouble. And before that already kind of got settled down, here comes another problem and another problem and another problem. And his peace had to be shook. His wife was really distressed. And she didn't understand how he could have the level of peace about all of it that he did have. And the people that's around you are not going to fully understand. And there's no way that you can have it if your mind is not stayed on Jesus. I'd like to go back and read where we started in St. John, the 14th chapter. One notice here beginning in the 22nd verse. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and unto the world? How is it that we're going to be able, that Jesus is going to manifest himself to us and to the world around us? How is it that others is going to get the idea that there is a reality to Christianity? What is different about it? There's good people around us. There's good people that don't claim Christianity. But Lord, how's it going to happen? And Jesus saith unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. If someone makes your abode with you, that means they're taking up residence. They're not just coming for a little visit. They're not just coming to stay a day or two, and maybe all of us could hold our breath for a day or so if we had some company we didn't really want to stay a long time. But he's talking about taking up residence. We want the Lord to take up residence in our life. Well, I want to have that peace that passeth understanding. He says, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The Holy Ghost is the avenue that we must have connected to be able to have the peace of God that passes understanding. If we do not have the Holy Spirit taking up residence and abiding with us where our mind is stayed on God and the things of God, then our perspective is going to deteriorate to where what we see is the things that's causing the dilemmas around us. But when my mind and my vision is on God and I want to please Him more than anything else, then the news that somebody brings you won't be near as distressful. Oh yes, you have to deal with it. You still got to clean the water up. You still got to mend the fence. You still got to put the fires out. You still have to approach those that you have offended or they have offended. You still have to interact with others. You still have to work on relationships and all of those things. But I'm going to tell you, when the peace of God is not our priority in life, and when it's something that the Holy Spirit is not abiding within us, if we have not kept our minds stayed on the Lord and we've allowed those things to to fade and to crumble and to seep out of our life, then our vision is going to be right down here on all the things that's causing me distress. And then the peace that I thought I had is going to be gone, and I'm going to begin to react to all of these influences around me. And then, how's the world going to see Christianity? What are they going to see? Well, they fly off the handle just like we do. That's what their perspective is going to be. But I trust the Lord will take our meager little thoughts and get a hold of our minds tonight. He says, but the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. The Holy Spirit will teach us how to get a hold of this peace. He says, peace I leave with you, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. It's not the kind of peace that keeps everything together like we think it ought to be. It's a different peace. It's in a different realm. It's on a different plateau. And we've got to have our minds stayed on Him, have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, or I'm going to tell you, all these things that's going on around us will take our peace completely away. And we will be miserable people. But I know that this is available. And I want more of it. I desire your prayers.